Tonight, we're going to take a quick look at the sins of our lips. And a lot of verses to look at again, but I've tried to keep most of them out of Psalms and Proverbs, so we won't be turning too far. But I've just selected a sampling of verses. I'm sure we could do a much deeper study. There's a lot of cross-referencing that could be done. But I took these verses and used them as kind of the base idea, and it's something that we can apply to other areas of our life. Maybe it's not the direct context of the verses that we're looking at, but the ideas are there and can be applied to different aspects of our life. And so I had this list of verses concerning the sins of our lips, and I divided it up and I came up with, I think, seven different categories. And so to realize how many different ways we can sin just with the way that we talk or the use of our mouth. And, you know, James encourages us, or reprimands us, I guess, in a sense, that if we're able to tame our mouth, you know, we've done something. You can put rudders on ships, and you can put bits in the mouths of animals, and you can tame them, but it's very hard to tame the tongue. And though we work at it, and we think we get something accomplished in that, there's always more to be accomplished. There's more areas of life, different sins that we may not have thought of. You know, if you think of the sins of our lips, we probably think in maybe a few general categories and don't make broader application to the way that we speak. But we want to try to do some of that tonight. So Luke chapter 6 and verse 45, kind of what we say is so revealing. And even how we say things. It's what is coming out of the mouth is really a reflection of what's going on in our hearts. It displays our doubts and our fears, our anger, our hatred, just every aspect of wickedness that resides within finds its way out our lips at some point. And we need to be guarding over that aspect of our life. Psalm 19 and verse 14. Okay, coming at the end of a wonderful worship meditation on God's creation and His Word. And the desire of David's heart was that the meditations of his heart and the words of his mouth would be acceptable to God. And certainly that has direct application to the things that we say to Him and in worship of Him, but really it's a broad element. We want all of our life to be reflective. It's to be something that is pleasing and offering acceptable to God. So our first category are sins of falsehood. That's probably one that we would naturally think of. We'll go back to the Ten Commandments. We're not to bear false witness, right? But there's a number of ways that we do that, and some different words that come out in some of these verses. The first one is deceit. That is the idea of treachery. It comes from a word that means to cast or to throw. And I think of playing with a dog. You take the ball and you throw it out there and he brings it back, and you throw it out and he brings it back. But then one time you take it and you act like you throw it and then you hide it behind your back. It was a total misdirection and the dog falls for it, right? He takes off across the yard and then he's like, wait, what? And then he comes back. And so that's kind of the idea. We're throwing somebody off of the truth. We're using our words to deceive and to mislead and to trick somebody, to betray them. To deal treacherously. And that word treacherously means to betray or providing insecure footing, or marked by hidden dangers or hazards. And we think of, you know, maybe mountain climbing can be treacherous because it has hidden dangers. The rock under your foot could slip and you don't realize that you're on unsecure ground or something. But here's the idea that verbally we're setting up what looks like secure ground. This, when the words of our mouth says this is what is, the other person is assuming the truth is being given to them. And what is really taking place is we're setting them up for a fall. We're hiding the truth. We're providing an insecure footing for their life and hiding something for our own benefit. Psalm 34, verse 13. Okay, Job 27, 4. And then 1 Peter 3:10. Okay, so there's a certain aspect of longevity of life and God's blessing on our life if we don't practice deceit. And speaking truth is oftentimes very challenging. It can be very humbling. And sometimes we know we're not supposed to lie, just an outright blatant lie. But we sometimes think in terms of a little deception or a little misdirection will be okay. And we need to be careful of that temptation. There is lying, that is deception, falsehood, or an untruth. Psalm 120, verses 2 through 4. Okay, there's something to be delivered from. Those that would be lying to us lead us astray. Proverbs 19:1. Okay. And then Proverbs 12:19 through 22. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. Then we can be a false witness. Proverbs 14 and verse 5. And Proverbs 24:28. Okay. Don't be a witness without cause. The whole aspect of trying to take advantage of your neighbor, putting false ideas about him and into other people's minds, even going to law against him. Proverbs 19:5. Okay. It is amazing that this is such a practice in the world around us. It's just a given. You talk to people and they're going to stretch the truth. They're going to outright lie to your face, and it becomes a way of life. And we need to realize that God's going to bring those things to mind. He's not going to forget the lies. Those things will be punished. It's not just a little white lie, and that's, you know, the deception of the devil, that we can get by with it. In fact, it's good. It's helpful. It gets what you want, and it doesn't hurt other people. And that's just the lie of Satan in all of that. And to realize that it's not good, and God is going to hold us accountable for the truth that we speak or the untruth that we speak. And so it's a very serious matter with God, because God is absolutely true. Anything outside of truth is outside of the character and nature of God. Sins of seduction. Sins of seduction. Proverbs 7:21. Okay, the immoral woman being spoken of there. The word seduced him has the idea of thrusting or impelling. And I guess those two words in my mind have kind of opposites. One is you're getting pushed into something or pulled into something, right? And that's what she's using her words to push him into sin or to entice him and pull him into sin. And then the other definition there I think is interesting. It's the wording is about a hunter. He's being hunted. He's being chased like the fox on a fox hunt. They're chasing him down and leading him to sin. Proverbs 5 and verse 3. Okay. It's really slick. It's refined. They're very attractive. And it's that bait that we talked about a week ago. It's very appealing to the place that we know that there's danger here, but I really like what I'm hearing. And it's not just that something that's applied to the seductress, the immoral woman, but there's many ways that we could be leading somebody else into wrong, to sin. And, you know, I think of kids. I know we don't live in a town with stores and stuff, but where I grew up, sometimes the kids would get together and they'd go up to the dime store and you'd buy some candy. It's pretty cheap. You can buy it in bulk, you know, and buy two or three pieces for a couple of pennies. But you'd hear stories about how when kids get together, there's somebody in that group that is saying, you know, let's go in here and let's steal some of that candy. Let's take it. You know, even to the point of making a plan of distracting the clerk or something. And so he's leading and drawing others into sin. So it's not just in the sexual, it's in other areas of life. We've got to be careful we're not leading others to sin. Flattery comes right on the heels of that. Psalm 12, 1 through 3. Okay, the number of elements there we could draw out. The aspect of pride in flattery, speaking great things. But the word flattery has the idea of something that is smooth. And I'm trying to remember what the old terminology was. I think it was talked about oil. And you're just being slick. You're saying things that really appeal to somebody's pride or arrogance or the desires of their heart just to butter them up. And this is something that is treated rather severely in that verse, that the psalmist is wanting to have God cut off all of those that are flatterers. So, you know, flattery is one of those things we think, oh, that's not so bad. But if we're not speaking truth, we're using lies and we're using it for our own purposes and manipulating people, it's a real evil. Sins of worship. First of all, blasphemy. That word means to spurn or despise or abhor. Psalm 74 and verse 10 and verse 18. Do we reverence God and His nature, His character, His works? We need to be careful. Those of us that know the Lord, we wouldn't intentionally do that, but we're more prone to this next one, hypocrisy. Isaiah 29:13. Okay, saying something with our lips in terms of worship that we really don't mean from our heart. There's misplaced reverence, Exodus 23 and verse 13. Okay, New King James says, be circumspect, and that's right, to be on your guard. And then the next there, make no mention of, is the idea of making a remembrance of. I thought that was interesting that we just had communion. Do this in remembrance of me. And here, you're making remembrance of something that is not the one true God. You're misplacing your reverence. If I take it to an application aspect there, that there's many ways that we don't just out and out walk into idolatry, but how easy it is to have a reverence for things that are not God, or give credit to things as being powerful or a savior, rather than realizing that the only salvation is from God. in the many different aspects of our life, not just our eternal salvation. Faithlessness, and I use Job's wife for this, Job 2, verses 9 through 10. There is a certain element of seduction there, enticing him, but at the same time, I think she was having her own spiritual crisis, watching her husband go through all of that, and she was faltering in her faith in God, and why suffer, just give up and die. And sometimes we can say with our lips things that don't reflect the truth of what we believe. We're not being faithful to the Word of God. We're not being faithful to the idea of who God is and how He is working in our lives. Silence. Luke 19:40 and Ezekiel 33:7-8. Okay, the children were worshiping Him, recognizing Him as the Messiah, and they wanted those children to be quiet. There's a time when our silence is sin. There's a time when we need to give God glory, and we need to do so publicly. And there's times when we need to speak truth, even though it's not popular. God has sent us out as His ambassadors, and we are to represent Him. And if we are silent in those moments, then we're sinning with our lips. Ezekiel 33:7-8. Okay, God had made Ezekiel a watchman, and he was to speak God's warnings, and God was going to hold him accountable for it. Sins of carelessness with our lips, idle words. Psalm 12:2, they speak idly, everyone with his neighbor, with flattering lips and a double heart they speak. So they speak idly. That word is emptiness, vanity, falsehood, lying, and worthlessness. So again, this aspect of truth that comes into this, but how many times it's just empty words? They don't have any constructive purpose. And we've got to be careful. We get along the lines of gossip here, things that we're just talking to be heard. We've got to be very careful of that. Proverbs 10:19. Listen to a lot of talk radio, and this is a verse I try to remember, because they're on that radio every day for hours on end doing nothing but talking, and you've got to realize that you're not going to do that without sin. And we have to be careful we don't just take everything that they say. Proverbs 14:23. It's good to work. You at least get some return, but just sitting there talking, that doesn't necessarily accomplish anything at all. And in fact, it can be detrimental. To be a talebearer, Proverbs 20, verse 19. Okay, a slanderer. When we think of slander, we think mainly of speaking lies about somebody else's character. But here, it's applied in the terms of gossip or being an informer. Parents generally like informers in their children. And it's hard to teach the children not to be talebearers, not to be informers. Don't just come up and rat out your brothers and sisters. But there's a certain wisdom that if there's something that is a real sin or a real danger, they've got to. And so it's learning not to just be a complainer about every little thing that my brother or sister is doing, but also recognizing there is an appropriate time when things need to be brought to mom and dad. And so it's a challenge as a parent to try to teach your kids, okay, this was something you just need to stop, you know, informing. And on the other hand, this is something that's important. Cursing is I put this here as a sin of carelessness. And I know that the specific idea here of cursing is taking an oath or denouncing something. A lot of times somebody will use the term damn this or damn that. and you're denouncing it, you're condemning it, and oftentimes they're condemning it to an eternity in hell. And they use it so carelessly, but we can take that and even beyond that, and the broader sense of cursing and using bad language, is it's not good. Psalm 59 and verse 12. The cursing and lying. Again, tying these sins of the mouth to lying. How one aspect generally brings in another. And when we're taking oaths or cursing, oftentimes we're not representing the truth. There's the aspect of unrestraint. Proverbs 13 and verse 3. And Proverbs 29:11. Okay, he opens wide his mouth. It's just talk, 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 talk. Okay, we're not thinking about what we're saying. We just open our mouth and let whatever's on our minds fall out of our mouth. And we see that in terms of the fool and his emotion, his feelings. He just, whatever is on his mind or on his heart, it's coming out of his mouth. And we need to be careful that we give careful consideration to our words. Not everything needs to be said, especially when we're in relationship to other people. Rash words, kind of along the same line as unrestrained words. Proverbs 29 and verse 20. Psalm 106:33. Leviticus 5 and verse 4. Okay, he's speaking without thinking. He doesn't even realize what he has said. He's even made a promise, taken an oath, and then after some time has passed, he realizes what he said, and he's going to be held accountable to it. He's not going to be let off. Deuteronomy 23 and verse 23. Sins of pride, arrogant speech. Psalm 31:18, Psalm 12 and verse 3. Okay, I think we read that one before on flattery, but the connection of the pride there. And I think of Daniel chapter 4 and verse 31, King Nebuchadnezzar, and he's built his kingdom and everything's going really well, and he looks out and he says, "Look at all that I have done." Daniel 4:31. His heart was lifted up in pride, and God took his kingdom from him. Complaining. The word means to murmur or to backbite. That broadens the thought a little bit there. Complaining, we usually venting our feelings about something we don't like. We don't necessarily equate that with biting back at somebody. And ultimately, we're biting back at God for what he's allowed in our life. Psalm 106 and verse 25. Okay, thinking back to the people of Israel, and you know, there's a lot of discomfort that they had experienced, and you know, I think you and I would probably be right along with most of them in our complaints. I'm hungry. I want something to eat. I'm thirsty. I want something to drink. I'm tired of manna. I'm tired of water. Give us some meat. You know, we do a lot of complaining, and it was a sin, and we see that as God was displeased with them. Isaiah 29, verse 24. Okay, God's going to bring judgment on these things. They're not small in his eyes. I threw a couple in here that don't have so much to do with what the words that come out of our mouth, but a different use of our mouth, and I've tied it to pride in the sense it's a selfish pleasing of the flesh, drunkenness and gluttony. 1 Samuel 1:14. Okay, to be drunk was a shame, and it's kind of a certain irony there that Eli's sons were very likely drunks and gluttons and committing all kinds of sin, but he sees this woman, and he gets after her for being drunk in the temple. Ecclesiastes 10 and verse 17. Okay, kind of both the idea of drinking and feasting there. And the king is not to use his position for his own fleshly desires. And you can go to Proverbs 31. That's not for kings to drink strong drink. You'd forget the law. And so we need to be careful of that. Drunkenness as well as gluttony. We don't have so much a problem with alcohol in our circle, but I think gluttony is something that we do. It's so easy to feed the flesh. Deuteronomy 21, verse 20. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Proverbs 23, 20 and 21. Don't mix with winebibbers and gluttonous drink eaters of meat. Sins of hatred, slander. Proverbs 10, 18. Whoever utters slander is a fool. That is whispering, defamation, giving an evil report. Scheming. The term in the New King James is devising. It is to think, to plan, to calculate. It's to meditate, to plot, or to imagine. And that is something that's taking place in our minds, but it's also applied to the lips. And goes back to that illustration of the kids in the candy store. As they make an evil plot, an evil plan. Here, you go in and distract, and I'll get the candy. Or I'll go in and you see that kid over there, and I'll sneak around behind him and squat down, and you come up and push him over. You know, things like that. We're planning evil. That's things that kids do, right? No, there's other more refined ways that we do that as adults too. So we should not be schemers. We're running out of time here. Cutting words. This is that sharp wit, and how easy it is to let our sarcasm and our sharp tongue get away from us, especially with certain friends. You can be joking around, but ultimately you do damage. And sometimes it's not in joking, and we're very quick to say things that are cutting, words that are poisonous and do damage to other people. In Proverbs 16, he talks about fiery words, words that are doing harm to other people. Contentious words, Proverbs 18 and verse 6. This is strife, controversy, dispute, quarreling. And there just seems to be a certain personality that just likes to stir it up. And it's not pleasing to God. He wants us to live at peace with one another. He doesn't want us picking fights and making others feel stupid and causing divisions. The perverse tongue, sins of perversity. The idea of something that is perverse is it's deviated out of its proper course. It's crooked. Wickedness, something that is wrong or guilty. Unclean words, impure, polluted, or defiled. I'm thinking of Isaiah, woe is me, I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. I'm polluted. It's not pure like God is. Filthy language, foul speaking, low or obscene speech, Colossians 3:8. And you think back to kind of that, what is it, the Edwardian period. You had the upper class and the lower class. And the upper class were just as sinful as the lower class, but they presented themselves as refined. And they, at least in public, knew that you didn't talk about certain things or use certain language. And so that was, you know, the high-class individual. The low speech was what was the common man down at the bar. And there was an unrefinedness to it. And so there's this aspect of being just dirty. It could be sexual, it could be just crude language, and that's not pleasing to the Lord. And we need to be careful. We hear these things all the time, and the world doesn't recognize that these are sins and that God's going to hold them accountable for these things. And so we don't want to fall into those patterns of speech of using this kind of language. That's a lot of different ways of sinning with our tongue. And I hope we find ourselves in there somewhere to recognize an area that we need to be careful and be guarded and confess those things to the Lord. So, Dean, could you close in prayer tonight?